WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, you're listening to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, along with Mike Brammer. And let's talk a little Irish basketball as the men's basketball team advances to the second round of the NCAA tournament with a comfortable win over George Mason. Graham, give me your thoughts on staying up late last night watching the Irish win in the NCAA tournament for the first time in, what, 5 years?
Yeah, that's right, 5 years. Well, needless to say, you can take a deep breath. I'll admit that going into it, I was nervous. I mean, after what happened to us last year, George Mason, you know, they went to the Final Four. I was a bit nervous, and I knew that we needed to come out right away and start out with a lead right away, and they did that. So.
Okay, let me point out how nervous you were. In a conversation yesterday, you were convinced that when you saw Bray's face on CBS during the selection show, that you were convinced that Bray was nervous, he was scared to death, and he just looked uncomfortable. So I think you were projecting your feelings onto Coach Mike. You want to talk? How do you feel about that?
I think the entire ND Nation was projecting our feelings on Bray. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what's the, you know, going into this tournament, what is the worst possible thing that could have happened to us? We lose in the first round. What's disappointing, losing in the second round? What would be great, getting to UNC, advancing to the Sweet 16, and playing well against them. So, you know, granted, I mean, George Mason is not the team they were 2 years ago. We know that. But they had two guys from that team back. They had over 20 wins. I mean, they're legitimate. They're capable of anything.
Well, I think it was natural to be, you know, nervous and concerned going in. I think most people would have felt like the season, as much as we accomplished, wouldn't be validated until we had an NCAA tournament win. So that's under our belts, and now we could focus on just, you know, how far of a run can we make here in this thing. You know, talking about the game last night, I didn't think we were all that sharp, and George Mason certainly didn't look very good. Do you think we played lockdown defense on them, or were they just bad?
You know, I really think they were just bad. I mean, you really look at that first half, and there was a point when we got up like 27-15 or whatever that run was, we had an opportunity to really just bang it down low and really separate ourselves, and instead we came down and took some wild three-pointers. I mean, just clearly some forced shots 8 seconds into the shot clock, and I just at that point in time, slow it down and beat these guys up, get a good look, get an, you know, and we could have just put 25 points on them in that first half.
Well, I thought we settled for a lot of shots that we can get any time, and we took them, like you said, 8 seconds into the possession. And chief among those culprits, I thought, was Heron Cody. I thought his shot selection was really bad for most of the game. There was a stretch, I guess, in the second half where he got freed up after some dribble penetration, got some easy dunks. But most of the game, I mean, what's with the turnaround fadeaway? I can't stand that shot. But George Mason, this big guy, Smith, I think his name was, he was a pretty good ball player.
He was. I mean, he hurt us down low. He had some good moves. I mean, I don't mind the turnaround quick shot from Heron Cody if he's within 5 feet of the basket. I don't like it when he's near the free throw line. I mean, it just made no sense. Especially there was one that he ended up making, hit the front of the rim and then bounced around and went in. But by the time the ball fell through, he was almost at half court. I mean, that shot was near the free throw line, and that is not a good thing if we're settling for that.
Yeah, I don't like it from him. I mean, everybody else, by and large, you know, when they play free and loose and without fear, that's how we've been so good this year. But it's just like, you know, Heron Cody, let's work it around a little bit and let him work moving towards the basket, not falling away from the basket. I didn't like that part of it.
You know, I didn't either, but I will say this. I did notice, especially early on in the game, McElarney and Torrey Jackson out front were given great ball pressure. I really thought they were doing a good job of that, especially Torrey Jackson. At one point, he made no separation with his guy and literally kept the ball away from him the entire possession.
And I thought McElarney did a great job of really extending the defense and getting into the passing lanes, denying his man the ball. When he didn't have the ball, McElarney was in really a denial position with him. And that just looked different to me than the defensive effort we've seen recently.
Yeah, and I think that was a big key to this. And I know that going into this game, I'm sure, you know, you look at it, you say, what did Notre Dame need, best case scenario? It was a convincing win against George Mason, and they got it. And I thought they did win convincingly. but it wasn't a pasting like you'd like to have seen. I mean, it just, I don't know what percentage George Mason ended up with, but they clearly missed a ton of open looks that just, I mean, they were horrible shots. I mean, hitting the backboard, didn't even hit the rim.
Yeah, I thought we contested a lot of those drives to the basket. And but, yeah, you know, in the Big East, those shots go in, you know. So I guess I like the defensive effort. George Mason had a lot to do with it as well. But what I liked is we never let him get a real run going. I mean, did they ever cut it below 14 or 12? I don't think so. Every time they made a little run, bang, we'd go on a 5-0 run. It'd be back to 17 or 18 points.
Yeah, I think no doubt about it. The best thing about the game was it really never was in contention. I mean, the game was owned by us after that first half run, and it never, I don't think it ever did get single digits after that. So you got to hand it to Mike Bray and his group for being able to withstand that, and especially in an atmosphere like that. I mean, that's just one and done, and to be able to keep it at that level in that first round game, that's what you need momentum wise going into, you know, Washington State.
You know, all year long this has been the consummate team. You get contributions from so many guys and unexpected guys. I thought last night, you know, Ryan Ayers was the guy for us, bringing in 12 points off the bench, and to me they were all huge shots that he hit.
I thought so, too. Ayers did a nice job on defense a couple times, deflecting some passes that, you know, you just don't assume that a guy with that long of arms, you take it for granted, and you deflect two or three passes in a game. That's huge. I mean, that's three possessions that we come down and score off that. I mean, that's what ends up making that difference.
And again, Troy Jackson was good with the ball, I thought.
He was. I thought he did a nice job. You know, any time that he spins in the lane like that, generally speaking, he'll get off a good shot and a good look, and it puts huge pressure on somebody stepping up to pick him up when he comes into that lane. And anytime he creates like that, I mean, that adds a couple possessions right there that we can score that ends up opening things up on the three-point, you know.
Okay, so Washington State is next. And again, I think this is a very winnable second-round game. This isn't a second-round opponent that makes you go, ooh, I don't know about this one. I mean, they're obviously a good basketball team and play in a great conference. But I like our chances, and here's why. You look at what Washington State has done in the Pac-10, and they really didn't do well against the upper crust, the elite of the Pac-10. I think they got all their damage done on the bottom feeders of the conference, and I don't think the Pac-10 is as deep as the Big East in terms of, you know, the talent of teams all the way down through the conference.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't, you know, obviously when you get to this point, I mean, anything can happen. Every game is up in the air. It can go either way. I think if we play well, I would argue that we'd have to almost play a little bit better than we did last night in order to secure that win against Washington State. I just don't think that a lot of those shots that didn't fall for George Mason will fall for Washington State. And so, therefore, you know, that's going to close the gap considerably. But I think if we play good defense, and I think it comes down to us keeping them under 70 points. I think if we keep anybody under 70 points, we got a great shot in winning the game.
I agree. I think we're going to win, but that's not a prerequisite for victory with this team. We've seen too often, you know, that we're going to win 88-80. We're going to win 95-82. So I don't know. I mean, if we held them under 70, yeah, I love our chances. But we win a lot of different types of games, and we could certainly get in a high-scoring game. Although these guys don't really play real up-tempo basketball, from what I understand. So I think you could probably expect to see a game in the 60s or low 70s. But like I said, if they got off and scored 75, we could still win because we're probably scoring 90.
Yeah, no, we're capable of that. I just think that it really solidifies our chances. I mean, I think if you set that as a team goal, look, defensively, we got to keep them under 70. If we pull that off, chances are, because of our scoring prowess, I mean, I just don't see us not beating teams if we're able to hold them under 70. Can we do that with North Carolina? I doubt it. I mean, that's probably
Let's not even worry about that.
It's down the road. But in any event, the fact of the matter is, yeah, we're capable of outscoring teams. We've done it all year long. But I think in the tournament, you can't expect to win that way game in and game out. It's a rarity that you stay hot for that many games consecutively.
Well, that's why people say championships win defense. But can in the tournament, can you become suddenly something you're not? I mean, you got to be who you are. And
no, I agree. And that's why I think that most people would say, you know, Notre Dame is clearly a dark horse to get to the Elite Eight. You have that upset against North Carolina, but are they clear? You know, are they a team that gets all the way to the championship game? No, because we don't have the defense to do it. So can we put four games together where we're hitting that well? I think the key to us and the goal should be, hey, fellas, it's on the defensive side, and you got to go with that. I don't care if that's not what our motto is going into this. That's the way it should be in the NCAA tournament.
Well, look, in terms of overall performance in the tournament, you know, what's acceptable? I think for most Irish fans, one win was the minimum. Two would be fabulous. And anything beyond Sweet 16, I think everybody's looking at as gravy, because this team's not built for a national championship. I mean, we don't have that type of athleticism that you need to just lock people down on defense, and we know that. So, you know, I hear what you're saying about, yeah, it's got to be defense, but that's not what's going to carry us into the Sweet 16. It's going to be offensive execution, enough defense. And, you know, and we've been a great rebounding and free throw shooting team. And by the way, what's going on with Harrington Gordy at the line? I'd like to find or look up his free throw shooting over the last 10 or 12 games. He has not been consistent.
Yeah, it's a little strange because he's been real good all year long. It's almost like he's short-arming, and I was watching that last night, and it seems, you know, he's sitting in front of the rim, and if you watch when he releases the ball, he's like, you know, short-arming it with his, you know, not extending all the way. But, you know, that's one of those things. Sometimes with free throw shooting is all confidence. Once you start to lose it a little bit, then you miss those ones that normally fall for you.
I guess so. We'll cut him a little slack. I mean, he is the Big East Player of the Year. What do you have, 18 and 14 or something ridiculous again last night?
Yeah, he was his usual self, so you can't argue with that.
No, I don't mean to be too critical, but it just is a concern because, you know, obviously close games, he's going to be on the line.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy that's going to be on the line. So, I mean, him and Kurz have got to be able to knock those down for us to have any kind of a shot.
And you don't worry about Kurz. You know, he's a great free throw shooter. But Harrington Gordy will get it done. The guy's a clutch player, so, you know, no worries. Okay, let's wrap it up there. We will be back after the Washington State game with a recap and hopefully a preview of a Sweet 16 matchup. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post it on the website, domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.